Hello. I need a different microphone. This one's going to be different. I couldn't quite do the usual bit. I'm going to be covering a whole bunch of different stuff today. I'm going to cover the obvious elephants in the room. I have no idea how this is going to go. I wrote myself up a bunch of bullet points and I'm just going to yap. But I think trying to keep up and like give an overview of what's gone on in the past couple of weeks is that's not going to happen. So I'm going to narrow my scope and we're going to talk about a few things. Let's start with Iran. Iran is currently seeing the largest uprising that they've seen in quite some time. It's gone from like protest to potential revolution. Late in December, protests began largely due to a crumbling economy. Merchants weren't able to keep up with the rapidly deflating currency. So basically, you've got the usual suspects doing usual suspect stuff, and then you've got the government of Iran trying to potentially do something about it, and they do a wildly unpopular domestic fuel subsidy cap increase. And that kind of was the spark from there. Long story short, money, economy bad, people upset. They started protesting, and it quickly turned into anti-government, not just we're upset about the economy. Protests spread really, really quickly, and things got out of hand real fast as the Iranian government started to use lethal force. At one point, the government of Iran actually tried to shut things down by declaring a day of all business being closed because it was cold. They were like, has nothing to do with anything. It's just cold out. That didn't work. Now, it's probably no surprise that you're going to hear me say that I stand with the people of Iran, and I hope that they get a government that works better for them, because right now, it's not going great. And yeah, absolutely, the U.S. and Israel have played a large role in it not going great, especially depending on when you want to start counting the not great. And so, of course, the U.S. and Israel are both like, yeah, wonderful. Oh, good for them. Yay. How patriotic. They're taking back their country. Maybe they'll be more willing to play ball this time. If you haven't seen a whole lot of this on your feed, it's in part because Iran has done a nationwide internet blackout, which is something that they've done before at protests of this scale. But again, this one's larger than they've seen in a while. Do I think this is going to end up perfect and great for the Iranian people? Do I think it's going to do regime change there? I don't know. I don't know what their politics are like on the ground, and it's going to get much more complicated before anything gets better. Hopefully, this ends up being generally good. Because people should be in control of their own governance. So whatever outcome leads to that, let's continue. Because a government using lethal force against protesting civilians, against government overreach and tyranny. This next part is about ICE. And I'm not the drink cooler stuff, the fascists. The fascist Nazis who are Nazis and fascist. And I'm not going to sit here and be told that that's not what they are, or that I need to watch my language because I shouldn't just call everyone that I don't like a Nazi. I've already made entire videos about how we've got concentration camps actively in this country, funded by our tax dollars, to torture people. I want to be clear. I work really hard to make sure that things stay accessible, to make sure that people don't feel overwhelmed by everything. It is as bad, if not worse, than it seems. 2025 saw about three times as many deaths in ICE custody as any previous year on average. The closest would be 2020. Can you guess why there were extraneous deaths that year? We know of at least 32 people who have died in ICE custody, in addition to three people who are US citizens, two of whom have been murdered, one of whom was shot five times. All by ICE agents. I'm gonna get to all of this, but I wanna start by just listing off some names and circumstances to show you how arbitrary it is, the lives that ICE has destroyed. Marie Ange Blaise, 44, of Haiti, was abducted on February 12th of last year, died April 25th after being refused medical care in response to complaints about abdominal pain and chest pain. Abelardo Delgado, 68, of Mexico. He lived 40 years in the U.S. as a farm worker. He was abducted on April 9th, died May 5th in transit between detention facilities. He died with severely elevated blood pressure, and this comes after his family had raised concerns about the medications that he was being given in detainment. Lorenzo Antonio Batres Vargas, 32, a DACA recipient. He came to this country at age 5. He was abducted by ICE on August 2nd and died in their custody August 31st. His family asserts that he had contracted COVID. And just to show that it doesn't have to be detainment and direct gunshots, the fact that this is happening at all is unacceptable. We're going to talk about a 24-year-old, Jose Castro Rivera. He was on his way to work when he was pulled over by agents, and he tried to get away from them and was struck by a car and died. On his way to work, apprehended by aggressive agents that are armed with lethal weaponry, and so he ran. Weird how when they have concentration camps and they're torturing people and they're chasing them down on the streets with guns, the human beings aren't into that. But those aren't even the U.S. citizens. You know, obviously, Renee Good is on everyone's minds right now. Keith Porter was also killed by an off-duty ICE agent on New Year's Eve. U.S. citizen, by all accounts, a wonderful dude, was being an American, had a rifle, and was shooting his rifle off into the sky in celebration of New Year's Eve. We can argue about the safety of celebratory shooting into the sky. Sure, great. The man's dead because an off-duty ICE agent lost his temper. With much less coverage, last October, Marimar Martinez, a U.S. citizen, was shot 5 times by an ICE agent who went on to brag to his friends about putting 7 holes in her with just 5 bullets. Guess what, guess what, guess what? The Department of Homeland Security went on to say she was coming right at him with her car trying to ram him, and that's why he made the shots. Guess what, guess what, guess what? That was a lie. The charges against her were dropped because it was complete fabrication. Unfortunately, they didn't drop the 5 bullets and 7 holes that they put in her, that they had a hard time dropping that. And then, of course, Renee Good. That's been the thing that's on everyone's minds right now. We watched as a white suburban mother was murdered in her SUV by an agent who the right is trying to claim was nearly killed by sort of being near her car. I'm going to get to like how things have been going and like the response to everything soon, but I want to tackle one other thing first. The immediate response to Renee Good's murder was for the Department of Homeland Security head to go on television and call her a domestic terrorist, body not even cold, and even if you take the most gracious interpretation on the ICE agent's side of this situation, none of that makes any sense. Scratch that, it does make perfect sense. Sure, she was a white woman. Sure, she was a mother in an SUV in a suburban town. And this whole time, my entire life, suburban white women were ones that you did not piss off because electorate and such, and we'll get to that as well, but it didn't matter because she was against the mission, which is to expel minorities. They're all leaning hard on this domestic terrorist line because they need to go on to the next step, which is going after the people who are protecting the minorities. It's not just anymore that you're white, you know, you have to be white and on board. And if you're not, you're expendable. You can be shot in the face on camera. There can be a bunch of angles, and they're going to call you a domestic terrorist. And even though we all know that that's bullshit, it still is the state giving the green light. If you have been waiting for a moment to meet, this is that moment. This is the moment that needs to be met. I am not going to use my platform to tell you, the current viewer watching this video, how specifically to meet this moment, because there is not a one-size-fits-all solution here, especially if you don't live in the United States. I mean, it would be very different for you too. If your instinct here is to explain why you cannot meet this moment, shut up. We are all complicit, especially U.S. citizens, and also pretty much anyone in a country that isn't actively sanctioning the U.S. right now. You don't get a moral hall pass on that, and it also doesn't really matter, because that's not how morals work. And if you really can't do anything because of your situation, That's rough, buddy. I want to go on and talk a bit about the response to Renee Good's shooting and like, you know, if it's bots and how the government has responded to this in general. I'm shook because of, like I said before, white woman in SUV gets shot. We have footage. Obviously, like, the government lies about things, but this is a new degree of don't believe your lying eyes. But what's spooky is the number of people online that we're seeing just eat up what the government's version of the story is, which is complete nonsense. Now, there's a handful of things at play here, and I'm not going to say that it's all bots, because it's not all bots, but I do strongly believe that it's a lot of astroturfing. Astroturfing is essentially just flooding a space with bots to create a sentiment that people then feel safe sharing because they can't come to their own conclusion, and they're just like, oh, well, everyone around me is saying this thing, I'm going to join in on that. But it's not an actual grassroots movement, hence AstroTurf. There are absolutely real, living, breathing human beings who are saying that Renee Good deserved to be killed, or so on and so forth. And those people are evil and do not deserve a place in society, to be clear. Like, it's not that they're like, oh, how are they, they just don't see the same thing we do, or they're like, you know, brainwashed. It doesn't matter at this point. Sitting around and supporting the government having federal agents murdering U.S. civilians is just not particularly conservative. And that is because things have transformed into something completely different. Look no further than what the people in the White House are saying. Stephen Miller is just parroting white nationalist Nazi rhetoric. The Department of Labor and Department of Homeland Security have been posting Nazi propaganda on fucking Twitter, which is a Nazi website. But you take the speed at which we went from here's a video that's obviously going to piss people off about ICE to we're going to triple and quadruple down on the domestic terrorism rhetoric. And we're going to straight up tell people that's not what you saw. The president coming out and claiming that the ICE agent barely survived and that it's amazing he's going to come out of the hospital at all. Wild shit. He attached the video to that post. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. Most of the people who are saying those things haven't watched the video at all. They don't care. They just saw that she's a lesbian or had pronouns in her bio, and that's enough to condemn her to death. This is not an exaggeration. They have spent over a decade riling themselves up about fake stories of their own victimhood, and now they're taking all of that pent-up rage out on their perceived enemies. And that has spent so long simmering and has boiled over into this wild cultural panic that they've built this foundation off of. So, like, yeah, it's racism. Yeah, it's sexism. Yeah, it's all of the above. And also, it's Gamergate all the way down. But guess what? It's not particularly a winning strategy to go on national television and say that the dead woman with plushies in her glove compartment, who's still bleeding out, is a domestic terrorist, while men walking the streets in masks and military fatigues with semi-automatic weapons are just out and about. Like, obviously, it doesn't make any sense and doesn't need to make sense because they don't care. They are in the position of power. We are not. People are fucking pissed. Things are not less expensive than they were a year ago, no matter how many random losers in Idaho tell you what they paid at the pump. Idaho catching strays. Things aren't more affordable. The Epstein files haven't come out. There are masked men patrolling the streets. We have concentration camps. We recently invaded Venezuela for no fucking reason and now don't know what we're going to do with it. Trump's jokes in huge air quotes about taking over Greenland are now manifesting. Because obviously. Because it was never a joke. Because it's never been a joke. And these people are fucking idiots, and they voted for the guy that they thought was gonna be a goofball, and they're like, oh, he's just joking. And the ones who knew he wasn't were sitting there being like, oh yeah, he's just joking. That's gonna be our cover. And so if you go into conservative spaces right now, you'll see there are plenty of them that are like, hey y'all, we're losing the plot here. Like, our movement's been invaded by people who are way too far right and focused on specifically race and just gender. Tap, tap, you weren't invaded. You just weren't paying attention. Now, this brings me to my next topic, which is elections. And before people freak out, I'm gonna make a few things clear. I'm just gonna like get the bean soup out of the way. I'm not saying elections save us. I'm not saying elections are how we fix the country. And I'm not saying that elections are gonna go great and don't worry about it. None of those are the sentiment I'm about to say. I'm about to say a whole lot more words with a lot more complexity to them. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not the elections for the midterms will even happen. Right? Trump has already floated the idea, and as we just established, him joking about doing something is just him wanting to do that thing. I genuinely believe the man just says a thing, and it's so absurd, and he doesn't realize that other people find it so absurd they interpret it as a joke, and he takes that as feedback to come back to it later. But anyway, longtime viewers will know that I generally identify as an anarchist. I'm not a huge fan of the state, but I do think it's very important to understand the thing that you're working against. So many people are just yelling, oh, the elections won't happen. Oh, they already know the outcome. They'll rig it. They rigged whatever and so on and so forth. And they just stop there. Again, I want to reiterate, voting won't save us. I do not believe there exists a candidate that we can vote for that fixes everything. So, with that said, US elections, while generally fucked up, are kind of the only part of this country that I actually have any institutional faith in. But that doesn't mean that they can't be messed with. But literally editing votes is very, very difficult with the way that we do voting here. And stopping elections is also very difficult. If you wanted to mess with the outcome of an election, probably the two worst ways to go about it in the US would be editing votes and trying to stop elections from happening. So on the sentiment of there won't be elections, I disagree. I do think there will be elections. I think they're going to try to stop them. I think they're gonna make a big deal about it. But I think ultimately they're gonna happen because the elections are run by states and they know that there's lines that even if they do cross, things will get real bad for them real fast. So on the topic of will there be elections, I think yes, I think there will be elections. I think they will be held. I think the Trump administration will make a lot of noise about stopping them, but I think ultimately they will happen. But here's what I think happens next. We've already seen Mike Johnson refuse to seat a duly elected member of Congress for over a month. We've seen Kristi Noem go up on stage and call random US citizens domestic terrorists for basically just existing near an ICE officer. The Department of Homeland Security has been slowly expanding an amorphous investigation into Antifa and the dark money on the left. And it's really just turning into a place where they can hunt down political enemies. They are continuously broadening who they can apply the term domestic terrorist to so that they can use a federal agency to go after dissenters. Specifically, a federal agency whose actual purpose is supposed to go after, like, transnational organizational crime. So what I think is most likely to happen is the elections happen, but then the federal government is just like, oh, no, well, there's an ongoing investigation into left-wing intervention in our politics. So we cannot certify these results while this investigation is ongoing. And so that's why we can't seat them. It has nothing to do. We held the elections. You said we weren't going to hold the elections. You called us fascists and said we wouldn't have elections. We held the elections. We're just following through with the law and so on and so forth and blah and blah. Does this playbook sound familiar? Because it really should. It's what they do every single time that they ever are backed into a corner. And it's like, hey, you can't do that. And they're like, that's not what we're doing. And even if it is, shut up. You're a terrorist. Anyway, here's another new atrocity. But don't worry, the Supreme Court can jump in and help get the midterms certified. Nope. So that's kind of it. I'm just, like I said, just sort of rambling about my current thoughts on the state of things because this has all been a lot for me too. Like, this is a lot. I've been doing this for years, and I have enjoyed being able to say ridiculous bullshit because of the freedom of speech that I'm guaranteed in this country, usually. I try to speak my mind as clearly as possible because I want people to know that other people are feeling and thinking the same way they are and don't need to filter themselves. But as of now, as I said, the Department of Homeland Security is actively trying to find dissenters using like social media monitoring and shit. I don't know what to think about that. And I'm not trying to make myself seem like some kind of like victim, oh, woe is me, so on and so forth. I know I'm relatively small potatoes and probably not their primary target and very, very white, but it doesn't change the point that I'm building to here, which is I, a white man in America, am scared to speak out because my government has shown that they're willing to kill me. We've gotten here. We've gotten there. We are now here. So if white man feels like government could be the reason he stops breathing eventually in America, is posting this on the internet, let that be sort of my supporting argument for why I said that things are pretty fucking bad right now. I want to leave you with a little bit of parting advice because I don't want to just like end on a huge bummer. Like, here's some practical shit. If you're going to go out and participate in any form of events, do not post about it on the internet, especially not on corporate social media websites. You might feel like there's nothing to lose and, you know, privacy doesn't matter anyway. But hey, the other people who might be there with you, they should have a say in whether or not their location is posted on the internet. Risk is a given, no need to seek it out. Speaking of corporate social media platforms in general, so Discord, Facebook, Instagram, really anything that is a for-profit company, do not use any of those services to say anything that you wouldn't be comfortable shouting directly into your local police station. And when I say comfortable, I mean like comfortable with both the effects it would have on you and the second and third degree effects it would have on your loved ones and community, because they are looking for webs. If you absolutely need text-based communication, I generally recommend Signal. It is generally trustworthy. Better is phone calls or talk in person. Use disappearing messages. Don't leave a paper trail. And just do good. The important thing, the very last thing you can go after this, I promise, is that despite the number of people who are going on the internet and saying we're cooked, which is also definitely feds and bots, we are seeing nationwide protests. Again, people care. People do care. It's a matter of getting them to care together and at the right time and in the right place and the right way, but people care. They're not buying this domestic terrorism bullshit. And the people who are, as I said, are a problem. But if they truly believe that the average American is walking around buying what the government is saying about the masked men walking around with weapons in their neighborhoods, specifically in neighborhoods that specifically did not vote for this, they are extremely out of touch. Thank you so much for hanging out with me with this video. I have no idea how this is going to go. Let me know what you thought. Gonna start editing this now. It's a long one. Take care. Be well. I will see you again soon. Bye.